they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dog Blues.
A very good morning, everybody, as you begin your footy weekend on 91.3 Sport FM's Breakfast with the Blues. On day 8,737 since the Mighty Blues last held the Premiership Cup aloft, your official WA Network supporter group of the Carlton Football Club, the WA Blues, remain to bring you the best start to your finals footy weekend on radio today. Your host today are myself, John Allen, joined today by Blues Wikipedia, Chris Brownie, Andy Baritone Jones and Yuri Young Richie Bilsich. Chew for chew for chew, Yuri. As always on the program today, we look at all AFL news, Blues news, and review the AFL finals, including tips, special guest live interviews, and today it's the one and only CEO of the Carlton Football Club, Kane Little. We cross live to the hyphen, as always, for the shirt front, David Rees-Jones, upcoming WA Blues supporter event details and info, as well as Carlton Football Club news. We have the weekly whack, and I'm looking forward to this one, Andy Jones. With anything else in footy that we can squeeze in the hour, we will. And Chris wouldn't have the show without a little bit of help, as always, from our friends. Can you please plug our sponsors?
Certainly, John. Well, we need to thank the WA Blues major sponsor, Hyundai WA, our platinum sponsors, Allmark and Associates, Tech Tiger, Master Picture Framers, and the Carlton Football Club home in WA, Empire, at 220 Great Eastern Highway in Lathlane.
Thank you very much, Chris Brownie. And, mate, really good to see you. You nearly didn't make it today, mate. Tell us a little bit about your drama, quickly.
Oh, the drama, quickly. Okay, went downstairs to go and get my car out of the car park, and the gates, someone stuffed the gate, couldn't get out. Went to get an Uber, and then all of a sudden the bloke fixed the gate. I got the gate open and hurry up, and, well, I got here. That's amazing.
Well, you're here, and that's the main thing, and we're very, very happy about that. Now, it's time to welcome to the show for the very first time today, Andy Jones. Andy, how are you going today, mate?
Bloody great, thanks. Johnny, how are you, mate?
Superb, young man. Now, what have we got in AFL news today?
You little cripper, panel and listeners. In case you've been living under a rock, our beloved blue boy Captain Cripper won the 2019 AFL PA MVP on Thursday night and also made the All-Australian team during the week.
Well done, Cripper.
Go, you Cripper. And joining in the accolades on Thursday night was another one of our beloved blue boys, 2019 AFLPA Best First Year Player, the one, the only, Sammy Walsh.
Hey, Sammy boy.
Then he went back-to-back and won the NAB AFL Rising Star Award the next day. Yeah!
Well done, Sammy boy.
Greedy.
leave some awards for someone else there, Sammy.
There was only one fool that didn't give him 5 votes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Luke Darcy.
Yeah.
Yeah, tall poppy syndrome, mate.
Yeah.
Corn syndrome, yeah.
Oh, we'll cover that later, Johnny, don't
yes,
you worry.
Yes, yes.
So the silly season is in full swing with Eddie Betts rumoured to be heading back home to us at the Blues. I don't know what you folks reckon, but please,
sure.
Footy gods, make it happen.
Well, I was very, very lucky to be invited into the studio before the show today with the AFL Masters, and I touched on that. So I'll make it very quick. If we get him on a 2-year deal, there's no small forwards out there worth the salt at the moment now that Papley's out of the race. And Sam Gray's not exactly an A-grader. He'd be good, but he's not an A-grader. Why wouldn't you bring him in just for a couple of years and then into a community role with the Indigenous players, a mentor coaching role for the small forwards? Imagine him teaching the tricks. And that's basically what he'd be doing. He'd be running around teaching the guys the tricks around the pockets and the flanks. I've got nothing against it. There's a fair bit of division on that social media amongst the supporters, as always, what we do at Carlton. But for me personally, I don't mind it.
I don't mind it either, John.
Neither do I.
Go, Eddie. Another news story. We are happy to see Brendan Bolton return to Hawthorn as Director of Coaching and wish him nothing but success against everyone except Carlton. I think it's great to see Bolts get a gig in familiar territory surrounded by mates and familiar faces.
Oh, and just in.
Hot off the press.
Hot off the press.
The news.
So, Cade Simpson has signed a 1-year extension, so congratulations to Cade Simpson and happy days at Carlton. That's awesome.
Excellent.
So that'll be his 18th season as a Navy Blue. No wonder we selected his signature and jumper as our season raffle prize, framed by Master Picture Framers, because he is a legend at the club. He is the heart and soul of the club, and he's rapt to hear that he's signing for another year because he deserves it. And he's been playing tremendously. So, another big year for Cade coming up.
I just love that dash off the halfback flank in that game against St Kilda to set up Choza to kick
that goal. Oh, yeah, in the last 7 minutes of the game. Oh, yeah, we ran off Jack Loney.
Yeah.
Just for 35-year-old legs, trailing a 23-year-old.
Just quickly as well, with the AFL Players Association Awards, they had the best under-22 side, which Sam Walsh was a part of. We had a couple of others
Harry
in
McKay and Jacob Wiedering.
Absolutely. So well done to those boys. They had great years. Great to see Jacob bounce back this year as well, in particular, the Wieders. So time to cross over to young Richie. Yuri, mate, good morning for the
good
first
morning,
time today.
John.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm very well, thank you.
That's the way, mate. Now, just very quickly, because there's only a few games on, obviously, in a week's time, let's go through the finals week one and we'll get some early predictions in.
Okay, so from next Thursday night, West Coast and Essendon here at Optus Stadium. Should be a very close game indeed between both sides, really just for elimination purposes, and I think West Coast by a couple of goals. But if Essendon can picture frame what Hawthorn did last Saturday night, they're every chance, but I think Eagles by a couple of goals.
Eagles for me.
I am going for the Eagles.
And angry Eagles, indeed.
Next game, the following night, Geelong and Collingwood at the MCG. The two teams haven't played each other since round one, all the way back to March 22nd, and it should be very close indeed. I think the Cats by a couple of goals.
Yeah, I'll go Cats as well.
Cats.
Tough one for me. Maggie's actually bouncing back, playing well, but you hate to see Collingwood ever win a final in anything. And Chris Scott's just been annoying
as ever.
We're carrying on about the Cattery again. But I do believe the Cats will win by a couple of goals here.
The following game, the first of the two Saturday matches, GWS and the Western Bulldogs, a remake of the 2016 prelim final. And I think the Dogs will win by a goal.
I actually think GWS will beat the Doggies in this one. I think it'll be very close. The Doggies have got their measure, but I just think they're getting some good players back and just starting to hit their straps.
Doggos.
I think the Doggies have already had their good players back and played into form and sinking as a team. And I just got a feeling the Doggies might smash the GWS and send a very scary message out to the top four and everyone else that remain in the finals after that round.
And the final match for the first week of finals between Brisbane and Richmond up at the Gabba next Saturday night. Both sides like to play a quick style of football, no doubt, indeed. And I think it'll be very close, but I think Tigers by a goal.
Yeah, I'll stick with the Tigers as well.
Flip a coin. I've got no idea. No idea on that one. Sorry.
I'll go the Lions at the Gabba. Yeah, I think they played pretty well in the second half and they steadied, and I think they'll take a bit of momentum away from that. Up at the Gabba, they'll be a bit too strong.
Yep.
Okie dokie. So normally we would have Blues injury updates at this stage of the season. We'll just say, who cares? And because they're all going to be back for the start of 2020.
Well, no, let me give you a bit of a rundown.
Here we go.
We actually have a fairly clean bill of health heading into the off-season. But what we've got at the moment is got Marchbank, neck. Still in a neck brace, but expected to have him back around mid-November.
Yeah.
Williamson, back. They're taking a very cautious approach, and he's still about the same time frame. Darcy Lang had ankle surgery last week, same time frame, around mid-November. And the Doc, he's had solid rehab, but he's going to Philadelphia in the coming weeks to meet with the world-renowned sports reconditioned expert, Billy Knowles, who's actually looked after a few AFL
Billy.
Stars. Yep, old Billy.
Oh, Billy.
He's looked after like Christian Petrarca, Jake Lever, Nick Natanui, etc. But we expect to have about 80-90% of the list back available day one of
pre-season. Absolutely, absolutely.
While I'm on a roll, would you like me to go through the delistings and retirements,
yes,
mate?
Yes, please.
Okay, well, we've had two retirements. Early in the year, Jared Pickett and Alex Fasolo retired. Now, the delistings, we've got Dale Thomas, Jared Garlett, Matthew Loeb, Patrick Kerr, Angus Schumacher and Kim LeBoy, all delisted.
And just like to give a big shout-out to Jared Garlett and the Garlett family. You know, sad news. Things hadn't quite worked out since he's been to the club. They gave him a lifeline, and we just wish him we've sponsored him as the WA Blues since he came to the club, proudly, and we wish him all the best for his future endeavours.
Can I just pick up from Andy said about Eddie Betts, and we talked about he may come back
to
Carlton.
No, you can't. Go on.
But have you noticed that Shuey's gone? Number 19's available. Just thought I'd throw that one out
there. Well done, mate. Yep. Well done. Danny Frawley. Okie doke. So
there's just one thing that I want to cover. Back to the AFL news, one that I want to go through. And that's Dale Morris is hanging up the boots after 15 seasons. Yeah. 253
well done,
games,
mate.
Three ACLs, and a premiership medallion earned under the duress of two broken vertebrae.
Yep. Yeah, well done.
Absolute champion. Well done, Dale.
Yep.
Good career. Okay, so... not much else in Blues news. We've covered everything that with Andy and milestones, tribunals. We don't have to worry about any of that. So we'll go straight into the review very quickly of last week against the Cats. It was a pretty disappointing day.
Do we have to?
well, look, we went down to Geelong by 68 points. It was a disappointing end to the year at the Cattery. A long season, you could see there for the boys. Yep. You know, it culminated in that. They did fight to the end, the lads. Yeah. You know, they never stopped trying, but they were just really outgunned by a side that wanted that top two finish.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
You know, well done to the Cats. They did what they had to do, and to our guys, well done for fighting it out. But you know, they did. They raced out of the blocks. They had the breeze. They smashed us in the first 13 seconds with danger, and it didn't get much better from there. But around the ground, Simo was really impressive again. Providing plenty of run and carry. Ed Curnow got 12 possessions in the first quarter, did very well. So we steadied a bit. In the second quarter, the Cats pulled away again. They ended up leading by about 35 points at the most there, I think it was. But Cripper lifted. He always works tirelessly. It was scrappy conditions. DeLuca's forward pressure was very impressive as well. That was worth note. And he kept the ball trapped in the attacking half, although once again we just couldn't convert. That's been the theme every week, hasn't it? So after half time, DeLuca's efforts were finally rewarded. He kicked a goal. McKay got involved and he kicked one. We were cruelly denied a third goal when another dodgy score review ruled a Cunners attempt touch. There was also a bit of a midfield reshuffle once Curnow got injured, unfortunately, with his Achilles, and we had a couple of late goals to O'Brien, and we cut it to 41 points at the final change. But then in the last, Setters and Dow continued to fight. They had a good last quarter, but there were no answers to the Cats, and you know, they went on with it, kicking four goals. Walsh had a running goal to cap off an outstanding season. As an individual and as a leader for a first year player, as a leader, leading by example, was just another great performance. So he ended up with 24 disposals, another goal, and the AFL record for most disposals in a debut year. So well done, Sam Walsh. Yep. So many accolades in his first year.
Yep,
absolutely brilliant. And a little article reading about him about after he got the Rising Star nod, talking about next year, how he wants to hit the gym and bulk up, and the game doesn't wait for anyone. Mate, he's just so switched on to what he has to do to become a legend of the game. And he'll raise his performance individually to do whatever it takes for him to drag it. He'll drag Cripper over the line if he has to. That's his mindset, and that's the character of the guy. So well done. Northern Blues review, just very quickly. Chris, you want to...
I can do that.
You've got about a minute.
That was the same as last week against the Cats, probably. Well, the Northern Blues finished 2019 off with a 53-point loss to Sandringham last Sunday. Zebras kicked the opening five goals of the game and held a 34-point lead at the opening change. Northern got off to a better start in the second quarter, winning the clearances to get our first goal of the game through for Solo, playing his last game after announcing his retirement. And Tom DeConning did his best to provide a contest around the ground. Despite an improved quarter by Northern, Sandringham led by 25 points at the main break. Matthew Owies was sharp in pouncing on a snap early in the third term, but seven goals to the Zebras saw them build on their lead, with them taking a 58-point lead into the final quarter. It was a promising end to the game for the Blues, kicking the final four goals of the contest. Hugh Goddard continued to stand tall down back for Northern, finishing with 13 marks, while Fasolo finished with four goals in his final game. Playing in the middle, Liam Stocker finished the afternoon with 24 disposals and four tackles. The goals for Solo 4, Owies 2, with singles to Silvani, Hill, McCabe and Palmer. Best Goddard, Loeb, Fasola, Stocker, Anderson and Kai Quirk again. But it was a very disappointing result for the Blues and a very ordinary end to the season.
Chris, could Quirk be a smoky in the rookie draft or anything like that this year?
I would say definitely. Yeah. The way he's played in the twos this year, in the back half of this season, he's been exceptional.
Absolutely. And some other names there, just looking forward to 2020. Obviously, we're very excited about Tom De Koning, the King.
Oh, yes.
And our boy, Liam Stocker, who we interviewed this year and was just a ripper. What a guy. And, quirky. So, you know, lots to look forward to this year. Hugh Goddard as well.
Yep, Oscar Mountain played too, and he did okay. He got about 12, 13 possessions and looked okay.
Yeah, so no, we're another one to look out to.
Yeah, good on you. He got to go.
Righty-o. Great work, Chris. Great work, everyone. Good start to the show. And it is time now to go for a well-earned break with a few words from our sponsors. And listeners, we really do hope you're enjoying the program so far. When we return, we're going to cross live to our very special guest today, the one and only the CEO of the Carlton Football Club, Kane Little. We're going to just discuss how the year went on and off the field. Go Blues. Your WA Blues are the official West Australian supporter group for the Carlton Football Club, established by Carlton in 1992. We regularly gather as one at the Empire in Lathlane to watch live games of the Mighty Blues. Here we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, WA Blue food and beverage specials, but most importantly, watching the Mighty Blues live on the big screen. More information on the WA Blue schedule of events and supporter services can be found on our website, wablues.com, Facebook and Twitter. Go Blues.
Station sponsor.
Is your business website stuck in the age of dial-up internet? Is your business website lost in the jungle on page 20 of Google? Perhaps no one can find your business online, and your competitors are stealing your customers.
It's okay. Tech Tiger can help.
For professional web design, digital marketing, and getting your business found in search engines, visit techtiger.com.au.
Tech Tiger, proud sponsors of the WA Blues.
Station sponsor.
We have been given the challenge to explain what Allmark, Perth's leading specialists in marking and identification, do in 30 seconds. Plaques, badges, laser cutting, stamps, workwear, trophies, promotional products, hats, caps, shirts, signage, engraving, stickers, screen printing, stencils, stubby holders, digital printing, honour boards, banners, awards, labels. Oh, who are we kidding? They can do any custom job we want. Allmark. Engrave, print, identify. Charles Street, North Perth.
Blue Baggers of WA. Join more than 60,000 members and be part of the record-breaking Carlton Army today. It is time to prove you are the most passionate Navy Blue region beyond Victoria in 2019. The region with the highest membership growth this year will go into the draw to win Virgin Australia flights, accommodation and tickets for two to the 2019 John Nicholls Medal, among other great prizes. Whether you're able to travel to Melbourne to watch the Blues in action or show your support from afar, there's a membership package to suit you. Head to membership.carltonfc.com.au right now and sign up today. There's no borders to being a Blue Bagger.
Station sponsor.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Cold Dark Blues.
Welcome back, listeners. You're with Breakfast with the Blues right here on 91.3 Sport FM. Hosted by your WA Blues, myself, John Allen, Chris Brownie, Andy Jones, and Yuri Young Richie Bilsich. So welcome back. And it is time now to cross live to a man who's had a pretty busy year at the club, you might say. A lack of on-field success initially was tempered somewhat by a new membership record, courtesy of the Carlton faithful, who for the first time in a long time found ourselves believing in the direction the club is heading in all departments. A coach sacking was a low point. A first-class carriage ticket on the Teague train was a high. Kane Little, a very good morning to you, and welcome back to Breakfast with the Blues. How are you going?
Good morning. What an introduction. Great to be with you. I hope everything's going well in Perth.
No worries. And thanks for those kind words. I practice in front of the mirror every morning. So,
And you've done a great job.
No, thanks very much, mate. Look, Kane, just firstly, looking back, our 2019 journey really began at the 2018 draft when we selected an outstanding young man by the name of Sam Walsh at number one. We also brought in Skinny McGovern with the trade. Our list is laden with young talent. The silly season's upon us again, though. Stephen Canilio is off the table. What is our trade and draft strategy looking like in 2019?
Well, it's an interesting time because I think long before I got to the club, we went public with a strategy around going to three drafts. In actual fact, we probably ended up going to four. So if you look back on what we've been able to achieve out of those drafts, which culminated in Sam Walsh, the runaway winner of the Rising Star yesterday, we're very happy with what we've been able to bring in from a young talent perspective. We've moved more to a balanced approach now, where we understand that there's certain gaps on our list that we need to look to fill. That doesn't necessarily mean we're going to definitely go and trade away picks, but we certainly are now in a position where we would consider that. There's other clubs who no doubt where they are in their list build strategy probably want to take those picks to the draft. We've got that balanced approach. If we get the right offer for those picks, we're happy to do it. But right now, we've just got to sit back and wait and see what unfolds.
Absolutely. How about you, Chris?
Yep. Good morning, Kane. Chris Brownie here. Kane.
G'day, Chris.
G'day, mate. Kane, when we last spoke, the week prior, we had our first win of the year with a 44-point drubbing of the now flying Doggies. Our other losses were by around the 1-2 goal mark, and we were very competitive. Then things changed very quickly. How difficult was it to let Bolts go, given the relationship that yourself and everyone else had with Brendan?
Yeah, as I've said a number of times, it was a really tough call. Bolts invested a lot into the club, couldn't have worked any harder. Helped guide the club through a huge rebuild of our list, managed our TPP really carefully, so whenever people are involved, particularly good people, they're really tough decisions.
Yep. G'day, Kane. It's Andy Jonesy. How are you doing?
Good, Andy. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Focusing on the positives, not only did we smash the membership record, but the faithful kept coming to the footy in droves. There's a feeling that this is just the beginning and the Giant is starting to awaken from its slumber. The Carlton Roar even turned Optus Stadium into what sounded like a home cauldron. Since the Teak train took over, it's clear that David's appointment has lifted every stakeholder at the club, and you made some poignant comments in your podcast with Damien Barrett this week about the Teak train's momentum. My questions are, do you have an even greater understanding of how powerful the Navy Blue Army is after the 2019 season? And secondly, can you give us a frank account of how those uplifting moments this year on and off the field affected you personally and professionally?
Yeah, well, from a supporter base perspective, what I saw this year didn't actually surprise me. I've been monitoring for a long period, both in my current role and my previous role, the metrics around Carlton's supporter base. So I personally knew that there's a huge level of support there. And from a total supporter base perspective, we'd be in the top sort of three or four in the league. So nothing I saw this year in terms of crowds or the momentum with membership really surprised me. There's a whole lot of growth still left to come for us. We just couldn't have been more appreciative of our supporters this year who, there were some tough times, and even during those tough times, our supporters kept turning up. And I think I've mentioned this a couple of times before. I had Sam Walsh and Paddy Dow grab me after the Brisbane game, sort of 5 or 10 minutes after the game finished, and they said, "Wow, that was a crowd today. I can't believe how loud they were." The boys, there's about 35,000. We keep getting 85,000 or 90,000 every week. The support the players got, and they just continue to reference it about how it sort of helps them while they're on the field. And it certainly does make a huge difference, particularly at those home games when we've got the crowd right behind us. And the crowd really can help with that momentum swing and driving that momentum on our behalf. So from that perspective, we sort of couldn't be happier. I actually can't remember what the second part of your question was.
Sorry, mate. So, yeah, just the uplifting moments of the year on and off the field, how they affected you personally and professionally.
Yeah, look, I just feel that lucky, and I spoke to some staff. We had a big staff get together last night, all our staff, all our players, AFL, AFLW, VFL, VFLW. It was a great opportunity. We had Sam Walsh come back and bring his family back, and we're able to, as a club, congratulate him and Paddy Cripps as well, the night before, winning the MVP.
Sensational.
We flew Cripps' parents over the day before.
Good on you.
We sort of made up a bit of a bodgy story about why we needed them to come over, and they were very happy to come over. And once they got to the MVP, they sort of looked at me and said, "Oh, do you need to tell us something? I don't know what you're talking about." So from that perspective, it was just such a great night. We had Matty Prespakis along as well, who seems like an eternity ago, but won the MVP for the AFLW. So from a personal, professional perspective, there's been sort of so many highlights, a few of those there I just mentioned. to be fair, if you said to me, pick one of the games, that really stood out for me during the year, I'd have to say the game in Perth.
Yep.
Yeah.
Went over. Yep. We'd gone over after a really tough couple of weeks. And I think if my memory serves me correctly, we definitely had Harry out. We had
Cripper. Yep. Was out.
We lost Charlie in the first quarter.
Yes. Yeah.
Fife was off the chain, and we were 6 goals down. And the way we fought back and the courage we showed that day and our coaches showed, I honestly could not have been prouder of the group. And it was great seeing a few of you guys after the game as well. You looked pretty happy with yourselves. And, and certainly the function I attended pre-game, it sort of felt like there were almost twice as many people as the year before in Perth. So sort of just highlighted again the huge support and the huge show of faith that our supporters have shown in the club this year. Yep.
The Blue Army and the Blue Roar, when we're up and about, it's a big four club thing, you know. The Richmond do it well with their crowd, so do the Pies and everything. But when we're up and about, look out. The AFL should be very, very scared because we are coming and we are loud.
Well, the AFL aren't scared. I said to a few of the AFL staff yesterday, the best thing that happened to you is we get up and going because it helps your crowds, helps your broadcast. So the AFL are just as keen for us to get up and going as we are. Yeah.
Hey, Canes, you're at Bilsich here. How are you going?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. What are the key lessons learnt from this season, good and bad, that the board and executive can take into next season to make us stronger and healthy again? And how close to you feeling are we eroding our debt completely that we can be the powerhouse off the field that we were decades ago?
Look, I think the lessons learned boil down to, a really strong show of unity, as tough as it got this year. Our club, I'm just so proud of everybody at our club. We stuck together, we hung in there, and we got through it. And, I listened to Cripper talking to the staff last night at the function, and he sort of referenced that game in the middle of the year where, he just exhausted physically and mentally, but he managed to get up and, I was just so proud of all of our players, our coaches, our staff. The fact that we hung in there and we got through and we've sort of come out the other end and had a great second half of the year. That's certainly been an absolute highlight. From a debt perspective, we went into the year carrying $6 million worth of debt. We intended to try and pay a mill off. We actually did that early in the year. The exec team put a paper to the board a couple of weeks ago, stating that our improved financial performance this year actually gave us the opportunity to pay another $1 million off, and we sought that approval and we got it. So, based on where we started this year, we're actually going to end up $1 million better off, and we'll start next year carrying $4 million worth of debt. And as we stated in our strategic plan, it's one of our 10 key targets to get that historical debt paid off as quickly as possible.
That's fantastic news and puts us in a strong position compared to other traditional Victoria clubs. Yeah. So great work, Kane, and give yourself a pat on the back there, yourself and Mark, with all the fantastic work you guys continue to do in that regard for the club. It's just much appreciated, and we know that off the field, just as much as on, we're on our way. So that's great.
And to be fair, that opportunity to pay off that debt has been almost entirely driven by the support of our members. So. Yeah. I should actually be saying thank you to you and everyone listening because you've given us the opportunity to do that, so thank you.
Well, to all the listeners out there that do listen to our show, and we know we've got thousands of supporters out there, we just need you to jump on board with a membership of any description from 2020 and onwards, okay? It's really, if we could get up to 80,000 members next year, we don't know how high the sky is, get on there. Let's
get on board the train, as they say, mate.
Be a part of it. $60, $120, whatever membership you choose, you're a part of it. You're a part of making the strong listeners, so get on board.
$10 a month.
$10.90 a month. There we go. That's my taxi fare back from the pub every
Saturday night.
So now
you'll have to walk.
I've lubed up the train on the push bike as we came. I'm on about 2 points. So mate, trade draft and a big pre-season under our belt with a healthy list. How high do you think the sky is for us next year in 2020?
Look, we wouldn't put a ceiling on anything that we can achieve. As will 17 other clubs, will start next year full of optimism. We feel like whilst we're, obviously we're trying to bring in players from other clubs and we'll go to the draft. We really think the majority of our growth is going to come from what we've already got. And if you think about our second year players going to our third and third to fourth, like I just think about the growth in, the likes of Harry Mackay and Zach Fisher and you know, David Cunningham we hardly saw this year. So, you know, I look at the opportunity for them to grow and improve next year. And as I said, we wouldn't set a limit on what we can achieve. And to the AFL's absolute credit, they've created a competition and structured a competition where clubs can rebound quickly. And over the last 5 or 6 years, you think about the Bulldogs, Richmond, Collingwood last year, even Port Adelaide if you go back a few years. Mm. There is the opportunity to rebound quickly, and obviously we'll set out full of optimism as we enter next year from both an AFL and an AFLW perspective.
Absolutely. Chris, you had something there.
Yeah,
as well?
Just a quick one, Kane. I'm not sure if you can elaborate on this or not, but who did the club interview for the head coach role? We know of Michael Voss, but was there any other candidates interviewed?
As we've stated a number of times, we went through a really thorough process. We spoke to a number of people. We don't want to get into who we interviewed and who we didn't.
Yep.
Good clubs don't divulge that sort of stuff, but we did go through a really thorough process, and as well as speaking to other potential coaches, we also profiled our group. We thought it was really important that we needed to find a coach who could come in and really hit the ground running. So we needed to understand where our group was at and be able to match the incoming coach to where our group was. And, you know, I don't know whether it was good luck or good management, I'm not sure, but when we did the profiling and we did Tiki's profiling, not only did we get to see what he was able to achieve over the last 10 or 11 weeks of the year, but we also had a perfect match from a profiling perspective. So we're very happy in terms of where we ended up.
Yep.
Thanks for that, Kane. And Chris, get back in your box, mate. Stop trying to divulge state secrets of the club. Come on, mate. You know better than that.
I know.
We don't whack our members here. We might criticise their hair. We might, you know, stuff like that. But you don't go trying to reveal state secrets.
I've already
secrets.
Got whacked.
At least Chris has got some hair.
Yeah. Mate, we've got to wrap it up. We really appreciate you coming on board the show again and supporting the show. The supporters love it. You're doing a fantastic job, mate. I don't need to keep humbling you there. I know you guys are just going in every day, working hard, being the best you can be for the club, and we really appreciate it. Thanks again for coming on the show, mate. 2020, can't wait.
Bring
Go
on.
Blues.
Thank you very much. Great privilege to work with the Carlton Football Club, and just so happy with the support we get from everyone over there in Perth and also here in Melbourne. We've got a great supporter base, and exciting times to come for the Blues.
Absolutely, Ripper. Absolutely. Thanks, Kane.
Thank you, Kane.
Thanks, Kane. Thank you, Kane. Thank you so much.
No worries. Have a great day.
You too, mate.
You too.
Bye.
All the best.
Okay, little everyone, what did you think of that? It's great having him on. He's got a pretty good sense of humour. And
I love the bloke.
He's
awesome.
Pretty
he's really
transparent
good.
There. I know Brownie wouldn't have been satisfied with the last answer, but, you know, we'll...
I did want to go one more, but anyway, it doesn't
matter. So, look, we got a few minutes before we have to go to the next break, so we've done well there. Just a reminder, everyone, last chance on the radio to plug this one. Next Saturday, 7th of September, the Legends of Carlton dinner.
Bring it on.
Get in touch with ProStar Entertainment, Adrian there. Big shout out to Adrian. G'day. And, or get onto the WA Blues Facebook page and find in the photos the flyer for the Legends of Carlton dinner. If you're interested in getting a ticket, 3-course meal at the Hyatt with none other than David Parkin, Wayne Johnston, Styx Kernahan, Diesel Williams, Cooter, and Ange.
Woof!
Christo, on the panel, for you to meet and greet and Q&A. It's just, mate, good luck trying to find a better premiership panel. From the Blues, whether you go for the Blues or not, it's a great night. You take a lot out of it. So get on board with that one. As far as the WA Blues events goes, we've got the grand final at the Empire. I haven't got a lot of detail on it yet. I'm hoping to get more soon, but basically just get on down there wearing your Carlton colours. If you got nothing on for grand final, or if you did and you're thinking about coming down, come on down, because we are going to be going there. It's been a great year. We'd love to see you all one more time. It'll be our last event for the year, so get on down to the Empire. Other supporters will be there as well. It's not a Carlton-only event there at the Empire for that one. It's open for everyone. So it's very important that we get all of our...
Outnumber them, Johnny.
Averaging 120 at every event this year. It'd be great to see that many down there wearing Carlton and just mingling with the other supporters as well and having a bit of fun and a bit of light banter. And it's always about family down there. So it's a good opportunity for us to show off our home base and show who we are and be very, very proud of that and beat your chest. So get on down to the Empire for Grand Final Day. Other than that, I'll have an announcement coming up very soon in the next couple of weeks about our AGM. So it's our three-year AGM, which means committee positions will be voted on. Most of the committee are staying on board, so there's not going to be many committee positions available. However, if you are interested, I'll have some details in the coming weeks for that one, and you're welcome to come along. So other than that, we'll go to a break, and when we come back, as always, the hyphen, David Rhys-Jones on the shirt front. We'll have a talk about last week's game against the Cats very briefly, and then we'll move forward into the on-field stuff for next year. Go Blues.
Go Blues.
Blue Baggers of WA. Join more than 60,000 members and be part of the record-breaking Carlton Army today. It is time to prove you are the most passionate Navy Blue region beyond Victoria in 2019. The region with the highest membership growth this year will go into the draw to win Virgin Australia flights, accommodation and tickets for two to the 2019 John Nicholls Medal, among other great prizes. Whether you're able to travel to Melbourne to watch the Blues in action or show your support from afar, there's a membership package to suit you. Head to membership.carltonfc.com.au right now and sign up today. There's no borders to being a Blue Bagger.
Station sponsor.
Your WA Blues are the official West Australian supporter group for the Carlton Football Club, established by Carlton in 1992. We regularly gather as one at the Empire in Lathlane to watch live games of the Mighty Blues. Here we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, WA Blue food and beverage specials, but most importantly, watching the Mighty Blues live on the big screen. From our functions and events, you can find out about further upcoming local events. Carlton Football Club memberships, purchase of local WA Blues merchandise, season raffle tickets, even Carlton number plates for your car. Just look for one of the committee shirts and ask one of your friendly representatives for any information. We as a committee also help Carlton with pre- and post-match functions whenever the Carlton Football Club teams travel to Perth. Attending the pre-match functions gives you the chance to win match day ground passes. More information on the WA Blues schedule of events and supporter services can be found on our website, wablues.com, Facebook and Twitter. Go Blues!
Station sponsor.
We have been given the challenge to explain what Allmark, Perth's leading specialists in marking and identification, do in 30 seconds. Plaques, badges, laser cutting, stamps, workwear, trophies, promotional products, hats, caps, shirts, signage, engraving, stickers, screen printing, stencils, stubby holders, digital printing, honour boards, banners, awards, labels. Oh, who are we kidding? They can do any custom job we want. Allmark. Engrave, print, identify. Charles Street, North Perth.
Is your business website stuck in the age of dial-up internet? Is your business website lost in the jungle on page 20 of Google? Perhaps no one can find your business online, and your competitors are stealing your customers.
It's okay. Tech Tiger can help.
For professional web design, digital marketing, and getting your business found in search engines, visit techtiger.com.au.
Tech Tiger, proud sponsors of the WA Blues.
Station sponsor.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dark Blues.
Welcome back to the program, everyone. You're listening to Breakfast with the Blues, hosted by your WA Blues and presented today by myself, John, Chris, Andy and Yuri. It's time now to give a very warm welcome, as always, to our great friend of the WA Blues, 1987 Norm Smith medalist and premiership hero. And I can only imagine a man who probably reverted back to throwing half-full cans of VB at his plasma again last week, watching us against the Cats. But anyway, he's coming on. He's barreling shoulder first into the shirt front. And good morning, David Rhys-Jones. And may I reiterate my earlier statement that that VB can would have been half-full, not half-empty, with a big 2020 to come.
Yeah,
No. Stick to the stubbies. They cause a bit more damage on them. and they cause a bit more damage than an empty can. I don't throw anything with any beer in it.
Well, I've been trying to nurture you through that one to save your bucks on the plasmas, mate. But anyway, stick to the stubbies, whatever makes you happy when you're angry. Hey, mate.
I'll tell you, it was interesting because quarter time the wind did a 180 and, you know, we kicked into the wind the first quarter and then had to kick into it again in the second quarter. So we didn't have too much luck.
And they wonder why they won't play.
Looking down on us. Yep.
They wonder why the AFL won't play finals at that bunhole as well. You know, So anyway, good luck to the Cattery. Absolute bunghole. So mate, we did see a Cats outfit though that were very determined to send some shockwaves over the other seven finalists and put the foot on our throat. We fought hard, but only a few winners on the day really after a long season. Another pre-season though for Andrew Russell to work them over. How are we going to go in 2020?
Yep. Oh yeah, look, there's improvement there. I mean, kids improve at a pretty rapid rate too. I mean, you know, we're starting to get, you know, 40, 50 games into some really talented young kids. And once they get up that 60-game mark, and you've seen it with Brisbane. You know, Brisbane have been able to turn it around really quickly. You know what I mean? It can happen quick. And if you've got the talent and the right you know, luck with injuries and everything else, these guys have actually been able to... We've had pretty stable defence this year. You know what I mean? Yeah. I know... you know, there are a few little ins and outs towards the end with Jones not there and a couple of others. Marchbank wasn't there towards the end either. But they've been able to... And when you're playing football, you really need to know all the little idiosyncrasies that... You know, we've all got little things that we do differently to each other. And once you're pretty well attuned with what everyone, how everyone plays and thinks, that's when you become pretty dangerous. And we're well on that path now.
Absolutely. And, you know, for the supporters out there that do listen to the show, and we know there's a lot, it's easy to forget that we after our victory over the Saints, we had two tough games against the Eagles and the Tigers and acquitted ourselves incredibly well. And then, you know, end of a long season after two tough games like that against the Cats at the Dunghole, you know, it's the boys have done well and they're ready to pounce. So let's just see how next year goes. We could be the next Brizzy. We could be the next Western Bulldogs. You just never know what's going to happen. Andy, over to you, mate.
Cheers, Johnny. G'day, Hife. Hope all's well, mate. Where do you think the holes are in our list? If you were in Lloyd's and Agresta's and Sauce's positions, what sort of players would you be looking to recruit in the off-season?
Look, are we looking... Eddie Betts' name got thrown up yesterday and created a bit of,
romance.
A little bit of excitement over here, I suppose. But,
romance.
You know, things like that, I'll put it this way, they shouldn't happen. If that did happen, it'd be a step backwards, I think, anyway. Nothing is said. He's a great footballer and been a, you know, he's a great team player with Carlton for a long period of time there. But that's not the avenue that we need to go down, you know, getting guys at 32, 33 sort of thing. So we need, some good kids around that 23, 24, 25, you know, age group, mature bodies to get in and help our guys, you know, probably in the midfield. And obviously they're trying to find a small forward, which Eddie fits that, what they're looking for, but he doesn't fit the age group that they need to get in there. Yeah, exactly. By the in 2 years' time, when it's our turn to strike, Eddie'll be gone, and then you're looking for another one. So better off trying to get one now.
Just quickly on that though, Dave, with no good small forwards out there available now, with Papley sort of making his intentions clear, would it be a good stopgap with potentially Martin coming in? For him to just like a Hodgie role at Brisbane, just to come in as a mentor for the small forwards, teach him his tricks as well, on and then off the field. Maybe first year on the field, second year semi on and off as he sort of peters out, but then remaining in the club.
Who's he going to teach?
Yeah, that's true.
Who's he going to teach in there? Who's going to be capable of doing those sort of things? And that's the thing. I mean, those small forwards who play that role, they're unique. They And Soss, don't worry, he'll be that first round draft pick was picked up. I think it's about
eight.
That's gone. They won't be using that. They'll be using that to get a player, and that could be appealing for a club that's got a, you know, one of those small forwards who's you know, not happy or whatever, or wants to move on, or might want to be looking for a few more bucks or whatever the case is, and you know, that's the time to pounce. So
Sam Gray's name from Port Adelaide keeps getting bandied about as well. There's a small forward, but I'm not sure. But
what about Jack Martin?
Well, yeah. Well, put it this way: if Jack Martin's going to be a different, you know, he's going to add a bit more to the midfield if he comes across, and if he's, you know, if he's fair dinkum and really wants to toe the line, and I think he's keen to get out of the Gold Coast, and that could be a blessing for him. But yeah, he's going to have to fit in as well. But they're probably the real areas that we need to work on. The midfield, you always need to keep bolstering up your midfield because, you know, it allows you to throw Paddy Cripps down forward and for him to be able to take a mark, you know, like Dangerfield does sort of thing and some of those other quality players. You know, you've got to add strings to your bow does that make sense or anything?
Yep, it does. We're all about the good cliches here too.
But you really need to do, you know, I mean, Paddy Cripps has got to, you know, he's got to start pushing forward, kicking goals, becoming a goal kicker, becoming a target down there, as much as we, you know, love that midfield. But you've got to have other blokes who can slot into that midfield, and Martin would be, he'd be perfect at that. You know, obviously, Coniglio decided to stay, and so, you know, there's a, you know, I mean, they'll be hunting, and you know, I think there could be a few surprises again this year. Soss will have a few things up his sleeve that what he wants to get into the club and what we need to get to be, you know, to take that next step.
And as we all know, Soss wore the long sleeve, so he'll have plenty up his sleeve. Yuri, over to you.
Morning, hi, Fury. Bilsic here. How are you going?
Very good, thanks.
Good, thank you. Just want to talk about Charlie Curnow's season. It was sort of injury interrupted this year, unfortunately for him. And it would have been good to see both him, McGovern and Mackay really up, fit and firing together. He missed two significant chunks in round two against Port and then round 15, which his season ended against Fremantle in the first 15 minutes of the match. What do you see over the summer having him back fit and firing alongside McGovern and Harry Mackay can really sort of lift the ceiling with the Blues forward attack next year in 2020?
No doubt about that. I mean, you know, Dermot only last year said that, you know, Charlie Curnow will be, you know, the number one player in the comp in a very short space of time. Obviously, he had some, you know, some injury issues early in the year. His form was down a little bit because of that. I think he struggled with his injuries to be able to play the sort of football or be able to, you know, that damaging running style he's got. So people forget, you know, we get another potential superstar coming back into our side next year, and if he can get through the pre-season and, you know, he had that bone bruising, knee bruising stuff, and that's, you know, that can really hinder your ability to play. You know, good luck to him. He got up and got out there, but he's going to be very, 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 very important to us next year and a great inclusion. People are going to, you know, he's going to bulk up again. He's, you know, he's going to be another 12 months in the gym and from, you know, the start of last year, and he's going to be a bigger, stronger, wiser footballer next year, and you know, it's scary to think what, you know, some of these kids can do. And we could do a Brisbane next year. You know, we could very easily, you know, if they believe in themselves enough and get on a roll, you've seen what's happened in footy over the last few years.
And it only takes a little bit of luck. If we finally get our quarterback, Sam Doherty, back in there, and he does become that recruiter of the year that we thought he was going to be this year until he sadly went down again. So touch wood and fingers crossed and toes and everything else, because get him on the par. It just takes that little bit of luck with the injuries and everything else, and things can turn quickly. Yep. Chris Brownie, over to you.
Good morning, Dave. The game against Geelong was really a disappointing result for us coming off that great win the week before. We were really outplayed by a team desperate to gain that top spot. And I think you mentioned the week before that they needed to be a little bit off for us to have a chance.
Yeah.
I think really, and do you think our mindset was a bit off considering that, you know, we had nothing to play for but only pride?
Yeah, look, you know, we probably lacked a little bit of class there, I suppose. And you know, you have a look at the players we did have out, and you include Charlie Curnow in that. You know, Geelong are almost at full strength at the moment. They've got hardly any injuries. So, you know, and you look at what we've got out, you know, we're not that far off it. You know, when you sort of add Doherty into the mix as well, I keep forgetting about him, to be honest. He's been out of the game that long, but yeah, it'd be great to get him back and playing the sort of footy we know he can play, because, you know, going from All Australian to not playing for 2 years has been, you know, heartbreaking for him. But if he can get back in there, it'll be a massive boost, and that boost of confidence too for our guys who, you know, who'd love to see him out there.
Well, mate, thanks very much for those insights. It's been a roller coaster year, but it's been fun, especially the second half of the year. Mate, we're going right through to the grand final. We hope you can keep joining us through to grand final day. It will be fantastic. We're going to do some final specials. But just for up until this point of the year, mate, we just can't thank you enough for coming on and supporting the show. You've been fantastic. Yep. And keep an eye out in the mail that something's gone out to you this week.
And it's not a slab of candy.
It's something special for the Duke of Doncaster. And
I've heard the checks in the mail before, you know.
Oh, no.
No, this is legit.
Yep.
So,
all right.
Mate, enjoy the week off.
No worries.
Enjoy the Thursday night game, the Eagles and the Bombers, and then the Friday night game, the Cats and Collingwood, and we'll have a chat to you about all of that next Saturday. It's going to be a great week.
I'm sure we'll have plenty to talk about, and we'll manage to sneak a bit of news on the Blues too. So
you betcha.
Dig up during the week.
Sure you will. Betcha. Have a great one, mate. Thanks again.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, go Dave. Blues.
Thanks, Hive.
Go Blues. Cheers, Hive. Good on you, mate.
The Hive.
Always good.
Absolute legend. What a great year it's been with him, and just giving up his time every week for a few minutes to support us. That's been tremendous. Right. Now, I'm going to very, very quickly, and we're not going to comment on it. I'm going to take some chairman privilege here to name my best 22 as it stands at the moment with the delistings, assuming that we got a full list. Forward line would be Fisher, McKay, Charlie Curnow. Half forward, Jack Silvani, Skinny McGovern, SPS. Centre line, Setterfield, Walsh, Murph. Love Setters and Murph on the wings, but anyway. Half back, Doc, Weeders and Marchbank. How's that for a half back line? Back line, Simo, Jones, Newman. Again, not bad.
Newman.
Followers, Cruiser, Cripper, Ed Curnow. Just a compliment, Setterfield, Walsh and Murph. And from the interchange, Cunningham, Levi, the Plough just sneaks into the interchange, and Gibbo, because he's had a great year and he deserves it.
Yes.
So the emergencies at the moment, the rest of the list as it stands, would be Matthew Kennedy, Josh DeLuca, Liam Stocker, Tom DeConing, Ben Silvani, Finn O'Dwyer, Matthew Owies and Hugh Goddard. 13 spots left on the list with 7 gone. Two that I predict to go, and 4 maybe going. So we'll just see how that all pans out. Now, it is that celebrated time of the week, every week, where we cross over to Andy Jones for the Weekly Whack.
So, congratulations to the one and only Kane Corns.
Hey!
In case anyone missed it, Kane is your top media nuff after walking through a murderer's row of challenges, including the likes of Damien Barrett, Mark Robinson, Sam McClure, and David King, just to name a few.
Some big names. Well done, Kane.
The top media nuff award was a round-by-round, head-to-head knockout contest of the footy media's biggest egos, and was voted on by 109,000 followers on the Facebook page accurately titled as Nuffies on AFL Pages. Kane's 2019 has been full of lowlights, none more prolific than his biases against Sam Walsh and his favouritism of Connor Rosie. It all came to a head on Thursday night with Sam Walsh steamrolling his rivals to take out the AFLPA Best First Year Player Award. Our man Sam Walsh polled 400 votes from his peers. And with all due respect to Connor Rosie, who I think is a prodigious talent, there were 288 votes separating first and second place. Kano's bobblehead must look like a big red Sharon right now. Not only is Sam taken out the AFLPA Best First Year Player Award, while she invoked more of Kane's denial and salt, taking out the Rising Star Award yesterday. our 2019 NAB AFL Rising Star and Ron Evans medalist Sam Walsh polled an almost perfect 54 out of 55 votes, with Luke Darcy's tall poppy syndrome denying Sammy of the first ever Rising Star perfect run. Kano, the only other player to get this close to a perfect run, who polled 52 votes last year, and that was Jaden Stevenson from Collingwood. Other lowlights from Kane's horrible year include the fun policing of Port Adelaide's captain Ollie Wines and his water skiing activities. More recently, Kane was fun policing the Mad Monday celebrations of Gold Coast and has made it pretty clear that players are only entitled to dress up and get drunk on Mad Monday with the proviso that they've won a premiership, or the premiership, should I say. So much for team dynamics and culture, hey, Kano. I'll have you know that a happy team is a tight team. A happy team looks appealing from the outside, and positive energy in a club can help with attracting elite talent. A happy team is quicker to adapt to change and develop a cohesive culture of connection and openness, but what would I know, Kane? I've never won an AFL premiership. In a nutshell, Kane is the life of the party everywhere he goes. His constant fun policing, grim, dour and humourless approach to footy media is boring. Seriously, Kane, what's your deal, mate? You're not an edgelord. You're a try-hard shock jock and a stick in the bloody mud. Jeez. Have a drink and get laid or something.
Oh, yeah. Well done, Andy.
Yeah, well done to Kane. Big round of applause to Kane. And, you know, and just a reminder out there to any of the kids listening that, you know, stay in school, don't be a nuffy, and just like to say a big hello to all our friends at Active Foundation as well. So, Kane, well done. You are a nuffy, and you are the nuffy of the year. So congratulations. Guys, we got to go. It's been a great show. Just a reminder that we're going right through to the grand final. We're going to do final specials right through to the rest of the year. And on grand final day on the show, where we will rattle through all the great names that we've had on the show on the line this year. It's been a great show, but it's not over yet. So thank you, Chris Brownie. Thank you, Andy Jones. Thank you, young Richie Yuri Bilsic, for today. And let's keep it going for the rest of the year. And as we always say, go Blues.
Go Blues. Go Baggers.
And they will know that they've been playing against the fans.